Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been elsewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 17, Denver, Colorado, Decision Day Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
It's Decision Day Round 1. Because these are not all the couples. Remember, we had that late couple because Michael and Chloe, they started later. So
I don't see how they have a whole episode for that. I mean, we like Michael, but Jesus, a whole episode?
It's not going to be just about them. Because you saw what they did in the preview. And I know we're jumping all the way to the end of the episode already. But they said it's going to be, you know, after Decision Day. So, of course, they're going to get... And we kind of knew this was coming after last year, right? I think they kind of did this last year, too. And like Ariadne said, the last 30 minutes made up for the season, if I'm being quite honest. And that's of this week's episode. How did you feel about it? And I mean, we knew Decision Day was coming. We knew it was going to be, interesting to say the least, or not, because we kind of knew what the outcomes were going to be. Overall, as you wrap up the season, was this the best episode of the season so far?
No. Still terrible, because the whole first half, like, we knew what at least two out of the three couples were going to say. Mm-hmm. So we already knew that. So what's the point? Mm-hmm. It got good at the end, but even still, it got, I have my opinions on some of the stuff that I saw at the end, and I'm just glad they didn't bring Orion and Lauren in too. Just for posterity, what do y'all decide?
I'm glad they did. Exactly. Yo, I like Nikki said, Michael and Chloe need to get away from all these toxic folks.
Yeah. It's like they're the adults sitting there watching kids on a playscape. Like, what's going on? Why are y'all doing this?
Hey, shout out to Breezy Films, man. Said, I got a 2-hour drive, y'all. Y'all came in clutch. Hey, drive safe and keep your eyes on the road. All right, that's all we're going
to
say.
Yeah, don't try to look at the live chat. Just focus. On the road.
Let's hope they don't do this. Donna D says they may bring back the couples cam. You know, here's the problem. People have tried all these spinoffs, and the only ones to have done it right was 90 Day Fiancé, right? I know you don't like 90 Day Fiancé, but 90 Day Fiancé did it the best when it came down to you would watch an episode of 90 Day Fiancé, then watch people who used to be on the show talking about the show that you just watched. Like, why?
That's pillow talk, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how that winds up being a thing. Like, you want to watch people watch a show and give their opinion on it.
Well, I mean,
who wants to watch two people on a screen give their opinion on a show that they just watched?
I know.
Who would do that?
Who would do that?
Now, if they had a live chat feature with pillow talk, then it could be a good thing. But outside of that, watching two people talk about a show they just watched is ridiculous.
Oh, my God. That's funny as hell. Well, look, the experts have been absent all season. They finally show up. And, of course, they're letting us know. This is Dr. Pia's first decision day because she's officially one of the experts this season, right? And for some reason, as they start talking about Becca and Austin, they seem to think there's a real chance. And it's only a matter of, you know, slight little adjustment in the communication and it can fix them. What was your thought when you hear the experts saying this?
They're biased. They want to have wins. They need W's. Mm-hmm. And so they want people to stay together and they're trying to talk them into it. Mm-hmm. And if they've watched everything and more of what we've watched, it's okay to say, hey, they didn't work out.
You know what I thought? Apparently they didn't see what we saw. That's the first thing I saw, because Becca and Austin have not been. It started off so good. You were the first to point out, hey, there are kinks in this armor here. And then we started to see them. And every day it got worse. Those cracks got bigger and bigger and bigger. Kitty said, hey, I wanted to slap the crap out of them. Michelle says the experts are delusional, in my opinion. Yeah. And Jay Seso says, Terrell, you're right. They need some wins.
They do. I mean, that's the only motivation, because if you watch the whole season, mm-hmm. you think to yourself, why would you encourage a couple to stay together where the guy barely wants to touch her? Mm-hmm. why would you encourage that? You see how she's emotionally damaged mm-hmm. and bothered by this throughout the whole season. Why would you still encourage them to be together? That to me is just irresponsible. But I get it. They need ratings and they need couples to actually stay together. Because right now, they're looking light for this season.
You know, RJ has a great point. I remember this. He said, laugh so hard when Dr. Pia referenced her pastor. And Pastor Cal was like, hey, are you talking about me? He's like, no.
She's like, I don't go to your church.
The Derek Jackson church in the car. Well, Austin arrives. So here we go. Experts sitting with Becca and Austin. Right, it's time for their decision day. Austin arrives first. And then he even hugs Becca and compliments her dress when she shows up.
I mean, he's on camera. He's been very affectionate, mm-hmm. Showing that he cared for her. He apparently didn't care for her enough not to wear that shirt. He really could have did a different shirt. I'd rather him wear a backwards hat than that shirt. But anyway,
oh my God.
he's always still been very kind of affectionate, as if he really cares about it. And honestly, I think he does. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't want to be with her. And there's nothing wrong with that to say, I think she's a wonderful person. We have a great connection. There's a lot of positives, mm-hmm. but I'm not feeling it. And that's okay.
Yeah. And, you know, again, she said that she finally came to grips. She's telling the experts now she finally came to grips and was being honest about how she really felt. Right. And, you know, the thing that Austin took away from that was that she just doesn't trust me on camera or off camera. Yeah. Wonder why?
You've given her reason not to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You've given her reason not to. Mm-hmm. If you go out with your boys and you wind up cheating, and then your girl forgives you, the next time there's a boys' night, she's not going to trust you either.
Right.
So it's just how it is. And I think that Austin, to me, just seems very clueless. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a lot of this off-camera stuff that we don't know or haven't seen. And it's really hard. I believe Becca 100%, but I would really love to see some examples if they got some diary cams or nanny cam footage of where Austin was doing some of these things. I think it would help the audience.
Yeah, the one thing we did see was the fact that he didn't want her to bring out the things. He said, hey, this is what you're making me look like when you say these kind of things on camera, right? That's the only thing we really got to see. And maybe as we found out later in this episode in the last 30 minutes, there's a reason why we didn't see a lot of that other stuff. But we'll get to that when we get to that, right?
Right.
In the meantime, Pastor Cal said, okay, well, look, and this is where it kind of irked me. He said, when the optics are done, that's when you can find the moments of trust. Meaning when the cameras are gone, you can actually start being real. Really?
Yeah, really. Because with his translation, I need y'all to say yes.
Yes.
And then at the next couple weeks when the cameras are gone, y'all don't work out. That's not on us.
Exactly.
We tried our part. But Austin, I need this. You don't understand. I bought a beach house. I need this.
Like Tehu says, Pastor Cal again, working my nerves. I agree, because I was just like, really? Is that what we're doing? But you're right. Translation was absolutely accurate. Now, Dr. Pia asked if everything she saw from all the footage she saw what she saw when she was with them, if all of that was a lie, right? And Becca's like, well, no, he's definitely more affectionate when the camera's around. But it's kind of like a job. As soon as cameras leave, he's like, ooh, 5 o'clock, time to check out.
Well, she did say it's not like it's a light switch that when the cameras leave, he's clocking off work. She said that he wasn't totally a Jekyll and Hyde when the camera's on and the cameras are off. But it wasn't the same. A lot of the work that he was claiming he would do, mm-hmm. she felt that didn't happen. And then apparently Austin would tell her what she can and can't talk about on camera. Mm-hmm. So that's surprising I don't know Austin, obviously, but it just surprised me that he would be that way, because there's nothing about him seem like that. But I truly believe Becca and even Austin admitted, look, she doesn't trust me on or off camera. So it is what it is. But mm-hmm. to me, the fault that I see in this conversation are the experts mm-hmm. and even Dr. Pia, like just... You know, he has his arm around you. You're always sitting together and all that. Just because he seems genuine rubbing her back and all that doesn't mean that he's all in.
Right. But here's the thing, though. And Shoshana's pointing this out. Is it a contradiction? Because Becca said it would be better. when the cameras are gone, but complained he's only nice in front of the cameras. So which one is it?
I think what she's hoping is that if they stay together and the cameras are gone, okay, things might be better. So she seems to be very optimistic and hopeful in this. And what I've gotten from Becca this season, which is probably different from a lot of us that are in the chat, we'd have been done a long time ago.
Yeah.
But she's someone that if she cares a lot about Austin, she truly loves him. So she's trying to see the good. But I still wanted her to leave. And honestly, I couldn't believe that she says she wanted to stay married.
Like Connie Poodlemom says, Terrell Master Translator. And that's what I got out of this, too, because as you said, as they got to the decisions, Becca says no to where the marriage has been, but wants to say yes to where it could be. And then that turned into cliffhanger. Oh, we know what she was about to say. Yeah, they're staying together, right? Then Austin, he's like, well, I'm excited to stay married.
It's like, shit, I didn't have you saying that. God, let me go to my notes.
Yep.
Find something else.
Look, Ariadne says the experts definitely gaslit Becca into staying in the marriage when her intuition was screaming the opposite. It's been screaming that for a long time. Miss J says they said yes to the check.
Well, Dr. Pia was telling her that sometimes you got to tell, what she say? I'm assuming like pretty much your gut is just to shut up. And they were encouraging her to stay in this relationship. She's crying. She's talking about that she feels she hasn't been herself. She feels she needs to be centered. And she's lost herself in this process. And yet they're still encouraging her to stay with him. I just didn't like it.
You know, the experts are getting some hell today. And Shante says, Pastor Cal hasn't given good advice since the Chris and Paige situation. Season 12, the one that made us say, you got to watch this.
Chris will never get, man, I feel bad for that brother. Never get a pass.
Look, I guarantee there was probably some kind of comments on the post of him, you know, in church, you know. I didn't even go to the comment section because, you know what? If it's anything like the chat.
I saw that. When he fell down on the ground, I wonder if one of those deaconesses just walked by with a towel and, like, threw it at him. You know, normally they kind of lay the towel on you when you fall out in church. They're just like...
Well, after they leave the experts, right, Becca and Austin, they're outside talking, and Becca says, because she kind of talked about this a little bit too, she wants to refocus on herself because she felt like she lost herself, right? And during this whole process, she kind of lost herself. And Austin's like, well, you know, I'm happy, but and I hope you're happy too, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, I don't get that vibe from you right now.
Yeah. That's why I feel like Austin's delusional. Like, you don't see the way this is impacting and affecting her. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to make sure everything is going to work out. And you're not all in. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that just blows my mind. You don't have to be all in. And you could have said, I want a divorce.
Yeah.
But why would she want to stay with you? Like, what have you been doing that the rest of us would be like, you know what? I see it.
Yeah.
She should stick in there.
Here's interesting, because Chrissy Sunshine said this process has sucked the light out of Becca. She was so bright. She really was at the start of the season.
Was.
And Nikki B has this, no one brought up the stress this could have caused Becca's health. Not cool.
True.
Yeah.
It's not. And you're right. It was a total different. If you think about Becca walking into the church when they got married.
Right.
To the Becca we've seen over the last 3 weeks.
Big difference. So
she's aged like a president through this whole process. Like, it is just, it's bad for her, and probably bad for her mental health, especially her physical health.
Exactly. Well, Becca tells Austin, like, look, I said yes in hopes that I can find myself again, and hopefully it's with you. And then Austin, talking, you know, to the producer / camera, and says, hey, you know, some people react differently, and maybe I'm that way, different to all the cameras. So he blames the cameras and production and everything else.
Yeah, maybe it's the cameras. I don't know. You know what it is.
Maybe it's the person next to the camera.
You know what it is. It's like, we've all been there. We know why we're not feeling somebody, not connecting with somebody. Sometimes we don't say it because you don't want to hurt the person, but we know what it is.
Yeah.
Please don't blame the cameras, Austin, on any of this. I know Michael catches us sometimes. Michael, please share this with Austin if you can. Let him know. As just Terrell said, be honest with yourself and stop lying.
Michael said, my name's Bennett and I ain't it.
Yeah, he's like, just like at the get-together, he's just like, mm-mm.
Yeah, it's funny. Nikki B says, these shows remind me why I stay single.
See, well, we should volunteer Nikki for Married at First Sight.
She said, right after you. and just figured I'd say it before she typed it. next couple up, perfect example of why not to do this. Emily and Brennan. These two, man. Whew. Brennan arrives first. Mm-hmm. And almost knocks out Dr. Pepper when he was trying to go hug Dr. Pia, right? I mean, like, Jesus.
That must be one of from those experts visits. He was still feeling pissed. Mm-hmm. He really probably wanted to knock down Dr. Pia, but he knew that would be a problem. So
that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. Because remember, him and Dr. Pia did not get along in those sessions. But here's the question I have for you, though. Why the men arriving first? Is it because they got ready first? Is it because the women were taking too damn long? They're like, hey, go.
Hey, it's International Women's Day, and we're not doing that. We're not doing that today. Well,
I'm just asking why the men showed up first.
No. No. If you were in person with me, I'd say, stick your lips out. Mm. No. And I'd say, bean dip you. I'd bean dip you in the mouth.
I would tell you never say that to me ever again.
Yeah, I'd bean dip you in the mouth. No, it's just coincidentally the men showed up, but we're not gonna say this because women said nope, not today.
Yeah. All right. Well, Emily arrives, and Brendan says he grew to be more resilient than before. You know, in the past he would have run, but now he sees the value of not running. And Emily's like, yeah, okay, everything you just said is a lie because you ran.
He wanted to run as soon as she sat down. As soon as she got there, look in his face was just like, ugh. Uh-huh. Hey, how you doing? Like, he did not want her to sit there. This whole conversation, I was expecting a lot more, to be honest, but we still got some good nuggets out of it. You know, Emily goes straight for Brennan. You know, for not trying in the process. And
yeah.
Brennan said he did everything. And then Dr. Pia, who he really probably wanted to knock down, came in and said, that's not true.
Yeah.
You didn't do everything.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Emily brought something up, right? And Nikki, I'm glad you brought this because I actually made a note about this too. She says, the experts didn't even ask what Emily meant by the consequence of disobeying Brennan, WTF. Which is true because she brought up repercussions after conversations they had.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like the experts just skated right past that. They're like, nope, we're not going to do it.
Or it just didn't make the show. They talked about it, got edited out. Mm-hmm. But I think Brennan played a politician on this. I thought that this is the only thing he could do. Because if he tries to bash her, he's going to look worse than what he's looked already. So he's pretty much trying to play this role. When Dr. Pia says he didn't do all the things, he looks at Emily and says, well, if you feel not doing those exercises would cause us not to work out, then I take accountability for it. And then Emily said Brennan tried to silence her by having her delete diary cams and make her feel like she can't stick up for herself. I was wondering if the experts were going to ask, tell me more about what did he delete?
Right.
What did he tell you that you couldn't do? You're right. They probably should have dug a little bit more into some of the things that Emily was saying.
Mm-hmm. They should have. Now, Freedom does say that Dr. P and Pastor Cal had all the smoke for Brennan, right? Because there was a point when Pastor Cal called BS on Brennan. And he said, you know, in his first, I'm sorry, AJ just knocked out Francis Ngannou. I'm watching the fight. I know we're live. I'm sorry.
Focus.
I'm sorry. I'm doing two things at once. I'm sorry.
See how the difference? I'm focused, right? I'm here for you guys.
I've been waiting for this. This is old AJ. He's finally back. I've been waiting for this. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
So, how many new subscribers do we get for you watching the fight?
Hey, shut up. We just got two more for me telling you, shut up. And while we're on it, please, if you haven't already, hit the like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. And then hit the bell for notifications. All right, so look, Pastor Cal calling BS on Brennan because he's like, hey, in my first meeting with y'all 7 weeks ago, I could tell you were suppressing your emotions. So you weren't trying to protect her. So he really did kind of go after Brennan a little bit. And Emily confirmed, right after the honeymoon, she knew. She was like, yeah, as soon as I got there the day after, I knew this wasn't going to be good. It was over.
Well, here's the thing, though. Brennan was, his way of protecting her is not being honest mm-hmm. and saying what he really thinks, because mm-hmm. I think it's going to be hurtful.
Right.
And I think Pastor Cal saw that when they had that, when he had that first visit with them. And I respect Brennan for not. I'm curious what he would really say. And I think we all want to know it, but he didn't want to make it look bad on TV. And even throughout this whole decision day conversation with them, mm-hmm. he's trying to like keep this open, pretty much saying, hey, we both did some things. We both have some accountability. I was out of character a bit. You were out of character a bit. Really trying to be the peacemaker of it. And so when Pastor Cal says it's BS mm-hmm. and Emily goes off about he friend zoned her after the honeymoon, this proves my point that something happened on the honeymoon that Brennan won't tell us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we kind of talked about that. We kind of figured we knew what it was, all the accidents. I saw that in the chat as well. But we figured it was alcohol, right? But then he kind of told us later that it wasn't that. Right. He said it was the negativity. And I'm sure that didn't just happen after they got back, because obviously as soon as they got back, that was kind of over. But Brenda did kind of point something out. It's the things that you saw and a lot of people in the chat have seen as well, which is Emily's behavior on the after party. Right. And the mean part of it. And that's what he kind of said, like. He said Emily told him everyone hates him. Mm-hmm. And this, she got this whole thing about, she brought up the whole thing that he said he threatened her, that he threatened her and said he has enough evidence to ruin her on television if it all came out. And he's like, look, man, she said we're going to war. I'm like, all right, well, let me protect myself real quick so she doesn't do anything. Let me say what I have. He was playing poker, according to him, and just calling her bluff.
He was. And to Emily's credit, she's not negative. Mm-hmm. She's the most positive person, and she brings light into a room, and she's the life of a party. Mm-hmm. So who are we to judge this poor girl for any of that? I'm going to pull Pastor Cal. I call BS, Emily, that you're not. But Dr. Pia called Brennan out and tried to give him a chance to redeem himself. Mm-hmm. And he just apologized for all of it. And then Emily's like, do you know what you're apologizing for? Yeah, and then she goes off all this stuff. You did this and you did it and another thing and something else.
Okay.
And he just sat there and was just like, mm-hmm. okay, that's how it came out. I apologize. He just wanted it over with. He didn't care. He just wanted to apologize and let's move on and get it over with.
But understanding the stuff that she said, I'm not mad at what she said, because I mean, she said she felt disrespected from the day after the day returned from the honeymoon, right? Because she knew she was friend zoned. She said he told her that he pities her and he didn't want to be the reason that she would never date again. I was like, yo. Even to the point that Brennan was like, okay, I see that now. Again, he apologized, but you don't like the apology tour. And I'm sure you didn't like him apologizing anyway.
He didn't mean it at all. he just wanted to be done. He's just like, fine, I'll just say what I have to say to get this over with. But I think something we all have to keep in mind is this is Emily's first real relationship.
Yeah. And we seem to forget that sometimes.
Yeah. It's her first real relationship and her first real breakup mm-hmm. and a public breakup. Mm-hmm. So she's responding like a teenager. You know, when you get your heart broken for the first time, she's going through all those. We're just happening to see it on TV and she's an adult.
Yeah.
So I did put that back. That helped me put it into perspective. I still think she plays the victim mm-hmm. pretty well. And she's a little, as someone said, DeLulu. Also, yeah, she's a little off.
ST Jones says, look, yeah, I'm not saying Emily's innocent in a relationship going south, but Brennan was so cruel to an extent that I can't even sympathize. And I can see that. And like Dollface says, if it was the alcohol or negativity, all he had to do was tell her. He's an a-hole. All true.
But according to him, he didn't want to tell her that on camera. So what if he did tell her that off camera?
No, we know he didn't, because you can see there's no point that they ever kind of. Yeah.
But if he did, she's not going to admit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. You know, Robin G has a good point, though. You guys were talking about how positive Emily was after the accident, which she was. But was that for the camera? He said if there was a time to be negative, that was it. It really was. And yeah, the thing I didn't like was him trying to bring up the accident again immediately. As soon as everything started, he's like, yeah, but you know, I saved you.
Okay,
I saved
but
your life.
When she had the accident, how negative can she be? Mm-hmm. Is she just, what is she going to lay on camera? Snowmobiles mm-hmm. suck. Whoever invented them are awful people. And I hate snowmobiles. You know, why did that tree have to just jump out of nowhere? I mean, what could she be negative about? She's hurt. She needed to heal. Now, she is a negative person.
Yeah.
As much as she doesn't want to admit that, if she replays, as I say, check tape, mm-hmm. there are many times that she's been negative and annoyed Brennan. But I honestly don't believe that the negativity is what it is for Brennan. I think he's just saying that on TV. There's something else that he doesn't want to say because he feels it's going to be devastating, in his words, to Emily.
It's funny you should say that, because Sarah S. says, based on what Brennan said, it sounds like he's holding a lot back, and I don't think any of them recognize that. Because he could just outright say, I don't like your drinking or your body count. All things that we said were the reason why he didn't like her. And he has not said that yet. But Pepper Shake says, you know, the way these experts were coddling Emily was sickening. She's a manipulator.
Yeah. She had them eating out of her palm. And then after all these, you know, she goes on the after party mm-hmm. and is the Emily that we've seen. Mm-hmm. So I truly believe that the negativity is not the real issue. That's just the only thing Brennan felt comfortable to say.
Comfortable enough to say.
On TV.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to say, which you got to hand it to him.
Yeah.
When people are throwing daggers at you, your first instinct is to say, you know what? I'm going to throw him back. And he's trying his best not to.
Okay, I'll give him that. But like Connie Poodle Mom said, yep, Brennan is more than an a-hole. He has scary anger behaviors and controlling behaviors. And if what she's saying is true about him making her delete the stuff because he doesn't want to, and she's brought this up a number of times about the fact that the way he wants to be portrayed, which that came back up later. But, you know, it's time for the decisions. And Pastor Cal is like, look, pretty much a decision is not even necessary. But look, we got to get paid. Or like somebody said in the chat, I got to pay for the Porsche outside. So what would you like to do?
Well, and I still question, how does he make you delete diary mm-hmm. cams?
Right.
You know, from your phone. How does he make you do it? Now, if there's something that he's doing that physically making you do it, okay, you should talk about that and we should call the authorities.
Right.
But you had a choice. You could have just saved him. Just in case you would need them on a moment like this.
Yeah.
Or for the reunion, just send in clips. This is Brennan. Go to Instagram. Brennan, post. Brennan, post. But why? Who makes you actually delete them? So,
well, he has anger issues, so I don't know.
To be so upset and ready, so they both say they want a divorce, mm-hmm. she's all emotional again. And, of course, this is still her first breakup. Mm-hmm. I get it. But why are you so emotional over this whole thing?
L. Ramey says he didn't deny it. And Ariadne says, I agree, Terrell, about the diary cams.
It's a lot of people agreeing with me today. I'm going to have to drink vodka soda more often.
here's what I didn't like, man. When Pastor Cal tries to offer hope that Emily has learned to find a voice and Brennan has self-awareness, right? But I also like the words that Pastor Cal said to Emily when he hugged her. He said, you know, don't ever let anyone make you feel bad about yourself, right? And then Dr. Pierce, which, if we remember correctly, we kind of ate her friend up it wasn't a friend. Was it Claire who told her that? You be yourself. Don't anyone make you not be yourself.
But maybe herself is the problem. Maybe being herself is the problem and she just needs just a couple adjustments, you know, just a couple.
And Dr. Pierce told Emily, you're a phenomenal woman and I want you to walk away with that. Everybody's giving us some encouragement, right?
Well, all that crying, what are you supposed to do? All right, get on out of here. Get it together.
By the way, not everybody's agreeing with you because
I knew you were going to post that one. I knew you were going to. I saw it. I'm like, here we go. Here we go.
Well, you know me too well. And Robin did say that you're really caping for Brennan. You've been doing it all season, though.
But no, he's wrong. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Emily is wrong, too. We just can't all
both
pile on.
Can
I think
true.
Both of them are wrong. Mm-hmm. But I want to see footage of what Emily's talking about. And when we get to the get-together, I have an opinion about Emily after that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Shante says, I don't think Brennan is violent, but he has a bad temper. He definitely has a bad temper. We've seen the look. We've seen the look.
Well, if I had to be around Emily for 8 weeks, yeah, I'd probably have a little bit of a temper too.
Jesus. Emily says she's ready for party of one and she's ready to start therapy, to which you say,
yes, get you some.
Hey, shout out to Justine. Thank you for the super chat. Says all these people have issues and they are unlikable people. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All about Michael and Chloe. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, we'll get to them in a few. We'll get to them in a few. And shout out to High Vibe, who's like, Yanni, we don't even know who AJ is. Yeah, I'm sorry. Anthony Joshua, boxing. I don't know why they put boxing on a Friday night. That's the worst. I don't know. But anyway.
I don't pay attention to it. This is his thing. That's what he's into.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. My bad. All right. Claire and Cameron. Did we even need for them to show up? Because Cameron arrives and then immediately goes, I did something stupid. I increased my medication. I took an overdose. But I'm here.
It's like saying, hey, everybody, just want to let you know I'm high as hell right now. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Dr. Pia, get in here for the real thing. How are you? Dr. Pepper, come here with your cute self. He's just
What did you think about when Claire arrived? They hug, and then Claire is like, well, where do I sit? And she tries to sit kind of close to Cameron, and he's like, sit your ass over there.
Yeah, he's like, I know, I'm going to need you right over here.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it to the side. I really didn't need to see any of this, to be honest, but it was interesting to hear how their conversation went, because they seem to mutually agree that they are better fit as friends,
right?
You know, than they are romantic partners. Mm-hmm. And Cameron said after they separated, when he was sick and in the hospital, or as they say, in hospital, when he was that they were separated before that happened. So he felt no obligation for Claire to want to take care of him. And I think he answered why he didn't really want her around. Like when you face, I don't know about you, but if I'm really sick and or something's wrong, I don't want a lot of people around me. Mm-hmm. I just don't really want all that energy. And I think Claire, just because she cares, mm-hmm. she wanted to be there, which is a positive attribute. But sometimes you just got to let people alone, and that's all that Cameron wanted.
But at least she recognized that. She said that she did recognize that, because she would have wanted the opposite, but she had to, and she felt a kind of way, some type of way, when he didn't want her around him, but she had to realize that's him, right? And Cameron said he felt her empathy, you know, he appreciated her care, and that under different circumstances, we could have had a successful marriage. And then the old Claire returns, said, oh, you miss me. Let me tell you a few things. I was like, yo.
Yeah, she's a bit much, but I loved when Cameron brought up some of the issues. For example, the slender comment.
Yes.
That he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that got in Claire's head because she's had body issues.
We talked about that.
Right. She's had mm-hmm. body issues.
Image issues, yeah.
Self-image is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know now, which she didn't know then, that Cameron is a little, as someone has called me, loose in the mouth.
Mm.
Someone in the chat one time called me that. But, you know, Cameron said some things, but he kept trying to say how attracted he was. But she was so in her head
mm-hmm.
that it didn't matter. Now, I really don't think that's why she rejected him.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
I
not.
Just think she wasn't into him at all.
That's what it was. Because here's the thing. When he said, well, yeah, I like the slender type. Well, as she thinks, well, I'm not slender. I'm a fat ass. Then obviously then the next thing is that that's all she hears. But that's not what he said. And he's like, no, but you are the type. But in her mind, she's looking at somebody who's 90 pounds. They're like, oh, well, that's slender.
I don't know. I mean, again, when people are dealing with their own self-image issues, you can't put yourself in your shoes. I can't understand what she thought, mm-hmm. right? But I really don't think that was the issue for her. I just think she was interested in Cameron at all from the beginning. But they have that conversation. And then Claire, you know, Dr. P was asking, like, why didn't y'all have this conversation after this? Like, why did y'all have that one time and not, like, keep having the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And then Claire said that, well, I've been alone most of the marriage. And Cameron's like, well, let's be honest. We lived together
for four goddamn
for 4 weeks. And so I love how he called that out. He's like, to be honest, we lived together for 4 weeks.
Yes.
But he said that by the time that she started to let her guard down, it was coming down to be too late for him to stay interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a nice exchange, although I still think Cameron was holding back.
He was definitely holding back. And even though Claire apologized for taking Cameron on an up and down emotional journey, or as Justine, thank you very much for this super chat as well, who says Claire's a troublemaking liar. She's full of yes, she is.
Yes. She is. We all believe that. but we also understand that as a therapist.
Yeah. Pastor Cal's like,
human.
All right, all the sentiment is good, but we're here for a damn decision. We've labeled y'all separated this whole damn season. What's it going to be? And were you surprised by Cameron, who was, you know, he's proud of them getting to know. He was proud of them. He liked getting to know Claire and let him know what is important in relationships, and especially what it means when it comes to attraction. And all that's gone right now. And no, actually, I see you as a family member. As a matter of fact, I see you as Well, he said sister, but, you know, he probably meant the dog because, you know, people consider dogs and family members too.
Yeah, well, he said sister, but I think he meant real sister, not like Alabama or Arkansas, like a real sister. So I love how he said that, because that was his way of saying, hey, I'm not attracted to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just, you know, get that off the table. I'm glad Cameron went first, because we were all worried that Cameron, I think there was that clip of him talking to Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that if Claire says she wants to stay married, I'm going to say yes and want to stay married. Mm-hmm. So I was like, please, Cameron, do not do that. So I was glad that Cameron said that.
Yes.
Got it off his chest. And Cameron even owned it. He said that he apologized for effing up the process because he thought maybe trying to fend for himself from what he thought was going to be a, you know, pending rejection, which mm-hmm. is true. You know, so I'm glad he said that he wanted a divorce. And then anything Claire said after that, I kind of tuned out, because to me, it really didn't matter.
Yeah. Black Tony said they were doomed when she unwrapped that stuffed animal and didn't know what it was. Oh, man, that is funny. Well, because, you know, I'll be honest with you, when she came on, all of her was blah, 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 blah.
Charlie Brown's teacher, right? Womp, 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 womp.
Breezy Films wants to know why you hating on Bama.
I'm not hating on Bama. I just said, you know, not sisters like Alabama or Arkansas.
Don't act like you haven't heard that joke before.
If I picked a scab, I'm sorry.
Even people in Bama make that joke. But next person we see is Becca, and she is a little upset because Claire saw Austin out with their producer, and she's like, you know, we got to get together. I know exactly what to do.
You said what? Claire saw who?
Claire saw Austin out with their producer. Saw Rebecca's producer.
Oh, got it. Got it. I'm sorry.
So here's the thing. Because Claire and Lauren were out, and they saw Austin out. And so they text Becca and let Becca know, right? So then here it comes. We get to the get-together, the group get-together. Austin is the first person to the party. You know, hey, I'm first to the party. Very unaware of what's about to come. And he thinks, all right, then he can't wait to see Becca. He thinks they're in a good place. Michael and Chloe show up, and Michael realizes that, you know, the only couple staying together besides them right now, and they haven't gotten to their decision day, is Becca and Austin. He's like, all right, he needs to see if they're also going to stay together, or we're going to be the Lone Rangers in this joint. And then they sat down, and Becca said, hold my beer. And Michael's face every time in that shot, you know, I'm so glad they sat him and Chloe next to Becca, because the look on his face throughout this entire piece was amazing.
So when you first brought that up, I thought you were talking about when Austin and Becca were, after their decision, they were standing outside talking. That's what's like, wait, what are you talking about? Uh-uh. But yes, at the get together, this is the Becca we've been wanting to see.
Yeah.
Now we see her light. She was back, right? This is Becca from day one. Mm-hmm. And I love how she set it up, because it was a smooth setup. and all the girls were in on it.
Right.
You know, so she's like, hey, lady, so how's y'all night? What'd y'all get into last night? Oh, you know, we went out, had some drink. Da-da. Really? What did you do, Austin? Yes. And they all knew that that's where she was going. It was a beautiful setup, and Austin didn't know what was coming his way. But I loved every bit of it because mm-hmm. this is the Becca that we've been wanting.
Yes.
For so long. You know, I loved Becca in this area because she's been getting dogged so much that I was just clapping. I was like, yes, Becca, get him.
And while we're celebrating that, Shoshana wants to point out again, Claire snitched. Is it snitching though? Is it?
Well, that's what Claire does because she's messy. She's like the drama. Telling you, if you go see her as a therapist, you go for the therapy session, she will tell somebody, I had this one person that came into today. They are so messed up. I'm not going to say who they are, but if you go on Instagram, at Just Terrell, I'm just saying.
Look, the funny thing was then Austin tried to you know, downplay it. Then he tried to claim, oh, well, we just ran into the producer. And Becca's like, hey, stop lying. Mm-hmm. I'm not dumb. And you got Claire and Lauren saying, all right, let's not lie here. Let's get it all out. Let's not play silly.
Yeah, right? He was cold busted. Like Orange Juice Jones, just cold. I saw you walking in the rain. It was awesome. I loved it. But here's what got really good is when he's like, are you mad at me right now?
Right.
I feel like you're putting me in a tough position. She says, I'm putting you in a tough position. I'm not in a tough position. And he said, don't tell me you just ran into her. I'm not a dumb bitch. I was like, yes, Becca. Everything about that was beautiful.
Yo, as she is reading him, the look on Michael's face, priceless, right? Then Austin finally admits. He's like, okay, my priority was misplaced. And he says that their relationship has gone to an unhealthy place and he doesn't know if they can get over it.
Yeah, that's why he hung out with a producer. Stop.
I think he meant that after, at that moment. Jesus, there was no coming back from that.
I'm just like, you just knew you got called out. At this point, just own it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like her, say, you know what? I did run into a producer. And you know mm-hmm. what? I had a really good time hanging out with her for mm-hmm. one night than I have with you for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think we should get a divorce. Great. Let her move on and find her joy. Yeah, Breezy, just own it.
Breezy Film says I don't like how all the women ganged up on Austin like that, because that's initially what happened, right? And, you know, because Claire jumps in and says that the women were feeling silenced because all of a sudden there's a moment. There's a chance for her to get in here, right? Because Emily jumps in first and says there's an important time for you, Becca, and asks if it feels like today's the right time to change her decision or do you want to wait a little bit, think on it some more, right? And then Claire comes in. Claire comes in with all the smoke. That, you know, the women have been silenced. And that triggered the silencer. Because Cameron was like, hold up.
Cameron's
who's
like,
who's being silenced in our relationship?
Excuse me, may I cut in here for a second? I love how Cameron jumps in on that and says, who was the one being silenced? Mm-hmm. He said that it was him being silenced by Claire the mm-hmm. whole time. Cameron said, he told Claire it wasn't fair to get involved in Emily and Brennan's relationship and tried to say that, hey, I was the one mm-hmm. that said we should double date. Brennan didn't say that.
Yep.
And Claire and him just know that you're lying.
Okay.
You're lying right now.
Do you believe him, though?
I believe. Why would? Okay, here's why I believe him.
Yes.
Cameron has not been in the shit. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. In the mix of this for a long time.
Yeah, you said it right.
He's been dealing with his own health issues. Why would he just come in? Hey, I'm gonna lie about some stuff. Mm-hmm. Why? What does he have to gain by lying? Not a thing. And then for Emily to, but here's the thing, Emily is also piggybacking mm-hmm. to say Cameron's lying. I'm like, chick, how would you know?
But you know why? I'll tell you why. And this is the thing, because I'm with you. I believe Cameron, but man. When the stars align to make you look like a liar, you're like, Jesus. Because everything he said, one of the other guys who was lying said it. Everything he said. I was like, he would say that and go, that's exactly what Brennan said. That's exactly what Austin said. And I'm like, you know, they're right. But I still believe him.
It's almost like the guys made a pact and the ladies made a pact. and they're going to just ride or die with each other. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see Cameron for this particular situation about the going on double dates. Cameron has nothing to gain by lying, you know, about that at all.
Yo, Shantae said, Cameron said, tag me in. Tell WWE reference right there. Come on, let me get a piece of that.
Yeah. Cameron said he was going to own it. And then I just wondered, like, how did this turn into a guys against the ladies conversation?
Real quick.
And I'm looking at Michael and Chloe, and I want to say they're both like, what in the hell are we sitting here? Because they are the grown-ups of the group.
Okay. Here's where the producers fail. Because what they should have done at that moment is brought out the popcorn. Because I wanted to see Michael and Chloe. Michael Jackson Thriller eating that popcorn watching. I can't see. Yo, they had the front row seat to this nonsense. It's like, okay, this is what's happening. This is what's really happening. And here's the, were the women really all not heard the season, or were they a little delusional? Because, I mean, they made, you're right, it became this men against women. It became this whole battle, right? And then Cameron gets up and leaves because he's just like, all right, I'm done with this, right? Now he walks off. And as he's talking to the producers out on the street, he even goes, obviously they asked him the question, all right, so what just happened? Why are you here? Because he goes, so I just walked out and I'm here talking to you. And Claire is texting me right now because she's made me not say things. Off camera, we've had these conversations. She told me not to say certain things. And right now, she's making sure, she's trying to make sure that I'm not saying these things that I'm saying right now. Which he didn't really say much. He gave one thing, which is the thing we talked about. She wasn't into him from the get-go.
Okay, but now here's my issue with Cameron on this.
Uh-oh.
A day before this, you were sitting there in front of the experts talking about how awesome Claire is. And she's like family. Mm-hmm. She's like a sister. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she's an evil stepsister.
Well, yes.
And you didn't want to say anything. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to say anything. So, like, why the... I wish Cameron would have been 10 toes down from decision day as well as the get-together and just been honest if Claire's the bad person. He even said that Claire is evil and that if I went to jail for stealing, she's going to be in jail for murder.
Yes.
That's huge.
That is.
But tell us more about why.
You know, okay, so here's the thing. Because remember when he said, well, I was protecting her, right? Again, and when he said protecting her, and this is what he told us later, which is why we all believe, this is why you see in the chat, everyone's saying, I believe Cameron, I believe Cameron, I believe Cameron. Because one of those things that was said in there was, hey, she asked him not to say certain things. And he didn't. So therefore, he was protecting her, right?
But then don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on this show, and then when the camera's off, my partner's going to be like, all right, look, here's the deal. We're going to talk about some things, but you better not say it on camera. I'm like, why are we on reality TV?
Yeah.
We're supposed to say this on camera.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get some followers. You need some followers, too.
Yeah.
Let's do this right and be honest. Let's blow shit up. Mm-hmm. But I wish he would share more, and I'm hoping that more is going to come out in the reunion, but I'm betting it won't.
It probably won't. Well, you know... Michael was like, okay, so decision day is over for you guys. What's next? Right? Brendan's like, oh, I'm going to work on myself. Sounds good. Then Emily says, okay, well, I'm going to come close. So I'm going to come close to you so you can hear me clearly. And I was like, is Chloe going to be fine with this? Because I assume she was talking to Michael, right? Because Michael is the one to ask the question. Nope. She went over to Brennan. What did you think of this moment right here?
So this was a moment where Emily on camera takes accountability for some things that didn't work out in a relationship. Because this whole time it's been Brennan's fault. Mm-hmm. And it's all Brennan. She's been all in. Brennan hadn't tried. He's friend zone, yada, yada. She finally takes a little bit of accountability in that. And it seemed like they had an amicable, you know, hey, we're good. And lightly hug it out.
Right. You
know, totally fine. But I still don't believe her. I really think Emily's lying. I don't think she was sincere in that apology whatsoever.
Yeah. You don't think she was sincere in that apology?
No. So, I don't, because she's been so negative and I will even use the phrase evil about it.
Mm-hmm.
The way she gives the squint when she's angry. I'm the most positive person ever. I bring light into a room, all that. And then now you got to give this BS apology. I just don't buy it. I hope it's genuine. All I'm saying is I don't buy it.
Was his hand holding with her genuine?
No, because he was just like, we've had some good. We've had some good. That's his way of saying, don't stalk me or bother me after this, because we're going to be done. Sarah, one more episode in the reunion and we're done.
Sarah S. says, Emily ruined the best part of the season with that moment. But here's the thing, though. Because remember, he's like, all right, well, so could we go ahead and call this over and get up to get a hug? And she gives him a hug. But you notice the side hug she gave him, right? She mm-hmm. gave him a three-quarter hug because they were still kind of facing each other, but she shouldered him in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nope.
That reminded me of remember White Man Can't Jump, where he's like, mm-hmm. don't talk about my mama. He's like, look, she's out. Your mama is out. And then you walk away like, let me know when you want me to bring the bitch back. Like, that's what I thought. That's what that whole interaction seemed like to me. I just don't feel like it was really that genuine. But if it worked out for them, they had their closure, they're able to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
More power to them.
He said, I love the fact, like Elroy, he said, she told him, hey, no, this ain't squashed. But Lucy B says, hey, I heard it was a feud with Chloe and the other women. Notice Chloe doesn't wear pink on the after party. I've seen this pop up quite a bit throughout the season, too. Like, it could be that. It could be the fact that y'all messy. But she was also it's a different experience for her than them, right?
Why would she want to hang out with them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're coming into this and watching all that, why would you want to hang out with all that energy?
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess.
Yeah, that's a good point. Why at this moment does Lauren then get all thirsty for O'Lion O'Ryan? I was so mad. Like, girl, what is wrong with you?
I have no idea what's going on with Lauren at this point. I'm assuming it's for fame, it's for TV, it's for followers. I just don't understand. Why would you even put the friendship back on the table for Ryan? And then again, beg him to, but you got to be the one. You got to mm-hmm. initiate. He's not done it, so he doesn't want to. Let it go and move on.
Yeah. Keeney says, why does Lauren have on a halter? What's the season? It's Charlotte. It's not really, it doesn't really get too cold in Charlotte, right?
Denver.
Well, that's right. Wrong show.
Yeah, I'm like, Denver.
Yes, because when they got married, it's only 2 weeks later. It's only 2 months later. When they got married, there was snow on the ground. You know what? You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
You're absolutely right. Indigo Blue says Lauren just wants to be relevant. Yeah, I put the Married at First Sight in the Ready to Love City. My bad. I apologize.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're watching boxing and doing a recap.
Hey, no, it's over. AJ already knocked him out. It's okay, it's over.
Hold on, where is that comment that I just saw? Oh, no, that's not it. I can't find it.
So Jaton says, Lauren is a hot mess with all that cleavage out there trying to rehook O'Lion. I didn't understand the whole point of her trying to be friends with him again. Why? Why?
Yeah. I don't know either. Mm-hmm. I don't see the point in like really for them trying to be friends. Ooh. And what does she get out of that? Like, where's your self-respect? Why not just move on? Ah, that's the comment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is from Michelle. They probably did the deed. That's why she's hanging on. Okay. I don't think that's it, because Lauren has done the deed with others. She's talked mm-hmm. about it. And I don't think that's why she's like hooked. If it was Emily, mm-hmm. I could say yes, but Lauren, I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I didn't get it. But then she turns around and asks Chloe and Michael, okay, so how is your relationship? And they said, we been it and we ain't in it. Chloe says they're good and they're excited. She's excited for what's to come. And Michael's like, you know I shine, but I'm a candle in the sun next to Chloe.
That was poetic.
You got lines, man.
That was poetic. I mean, Michael's got game. That was poetic. I loved it. And then he said that she can continue to teach him how to be selfless, and he will continue to show her how to be selfish. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what mature adults talk about.
Right. Yeah.
But and then after that, I just love their whole deal, but I just love how at the end of all this, because it's just kind of getting annoying at this point, Becca pretty much says Austin's not for her.
Right.
And she's ready to move on.
Yeah, which it was actually about time that happened. And we're actually kind of glad that she finally did, even though Austin in return tells the cameras that he feels blindsided, right? It's like at that moment, he's like, after everything, being caught lying, being called out by all the women, he still feels like he's blindsided. And I tell you what, this looks like it's going to be a really, really interesting rest of the season. And thank you. I got all the shows mixed up. You're right. NYCMP says Charlotte is love is blind. You're right. Yeah, I got these wrong. I got them wrong. Love is blind. I put them in the Love is Blind city. Yeah, I did. I apologize. Hey, shout out to our super chats here too from Michael, who says Austin was never in it from the beginning. Otherwise, he would have gave her the D. And that could be the case, right? I mean, is that I think we kind of said this a lot throughout the season, though, that Austin just never would do it because he just wasn't into it. And this is the evidence. And this, no, this is another man saying this. This is the evidence we have because he just didn't do it.
Yeah, I think so. Although I don't think that just because he was into her, he's going to give her the D. Mm. He just wasn't into her. But I'm laughing because I got to be honest here. High Vibe, yeah, you're right.
I just saw that.
High Vibe, you're right. That vodka soda just ran through me, and I'm just like, I'll be right back. So, yes, you caught me. I had to take a quick powder.
That's because whenever you leave, you need to hit the mute button too.
Oh, really? Damn it. I'm sorry. I was in a hurry. I had a 911. I was in a hurry.
Yeah, all right. He says, that was quick. Well, I mean, probably didn't have far to go, so.
Yeah, it's just right around the corner there. But yeah, I had to drop something off. I had to pee real quick. But I'm back. High Vibe, thanks for calling me out. Damn.
Hey, shout out to Karen. Thank you for the super chat. And also shout out to Elizabeth with the big, big super chat, who says, Austin gives me gay vibes. Why is it that every time the man doesn't want the woman, people want to call him gay? Why is that?
Right.
Is this fair. The 90s? I
mean, it's not fair. Is it to say if a woman doesn't want to sleep with a man, does that mean she's not into men? No.
Yeah, I don't think I can't say I haven't seen anything to kind of deal with. Crystal K says the pegging. Okay, the pegging. Yeah. Hey, they're all coming in. Mrs. Smith, it's the pegging. L. Ramey, it's the pegging comment. They say so because he wants to be pegged. My bad. To have you all a quick on the keyboard. Everybody's on there.
I guess it's the pagan comment. I mean, that doesn't help.
Well, you know, here's the thing, too, because even Lucy B said this earlier. Has the producer's gender been verified?
Yes, because Becca said her.
Yeah.
When she said you were out with her. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, the producer's gender was verified.
Yeah. Here's a question that came in. This is really early from Nikki B. Said, so is a producer Austin was out with getting fired? They made Todd quit Real Housewives of Atlanta when he got involved with Candy. He still won. He got Candy.
I don't know. I don't know how we even find that out. Mm-hmm. But I am curious about that. Like, if you are working on the show and you get involved with the cast, I think you'd have to get fired. Mm-hmm. I believe you would just have to. I don't see how you can stay on the show or not.
We had one of the experts on Married at First Sight that was, and she ended up dating one of the guys after they chose to be divorced. right? I can't remember which one it was. I saw the name in the chat earlier too, but I forgot. And Dollface says, word is the producer was fired. So, yeah.
I want to know what the producer looked like.
That's the real question.
Right.
Yeah, so, even yeah, seeing that out here a lot in the chat right now, there's a rumor producer did get fired. Could have been her. So, yeah, and El Remy said, I can't remember the expert's name, though, but she, yeah, she ended up marrying him. But, yeah. Now, was it Jess? Not Jessica. I can't remember her name to save my life. But yeah.
I have no idea.
Yo, Nikki B says, come on, Yanni, for knowing the acronym for RHOA. Your wife has you watching. No, that's being in radio. You got to kind of know that's part of culture. Got to kind of know that, right? Got to kind of know that. Couple more comments that came in here before. If Nikki B had said earlier, if Lauren didn't talk about doing the deed, she might still be married. I don't know, though, because I think we talked about this. That was his out, wasn't it? Didn't we think that was Orion's out when she said that?
No, that's when he had took sex off the table, because right. She said a month or so prior to getting married that they had sex. And so I don't know if that's his way of as an out. I just don't think he's all that into her.
Right. And it's the laughing at him, that sex thing when he said sex is off the table, that was his way to keep rolling out. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm out. That was his literal, okay, the door's open, let's get the hell out of here. Speaking of sex, because you know, the question was whether Lauren and Orion had sex, and Lisa also said, well, Brendan probably had sex with Emily on a honeymoon, and then love bombed Emily, which is why she held out hope throughout the entire season.
No, don't agree with that, because Emily doesn't have enough relationship experience. Mm-hmm. So whoever gives her attention, she's holding out hope for. You know, so this was her first real relationship. And I think they did have sex on the honeymoon, but I just think there's other things that happened that we don't know is what made Brendan say, nah.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Okay. Let's see. Interesting comment here from ST Jones saying Claire comes for Austin and Brennan for trying to look good on camera when she does the same thing.
She's a little manipulative.
Yeah.
And she tries to make herself seem like she's the sweet and innocent one, and she's not.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And Jessica Griffin is the one that she was an expert on the show. And she married the guy, they ended up getting married, started dating and got married. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's what happened. So, it's possible. This person's gone, too. Well, look, we got What Tomorrow? Ready to Love, right?
Yes.
And then we're back to, next week. Love is Blind reunion. Married at First Sight after Decision Day. And, of course, it looks like we're getting to Chloe and Michael's decision day sometime soon.
Yeah, we are. And hopefully next few days, isn't Love is Blind reunion coming up?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Did next you? Week. Okay. Yeah, sorry, I was reading comments.
Focus.
Sorry. I just after I pee, I'm a little scatterbrained. I gotta like eventually bring it back together.
No, what it is, you need some more liquor. That's what it is. That's your focal point. You know, and Dollface had said, hey, Terrell's not married, right? He should do it.
No, he shouldn't. Terrell shouldn't do this. Terrell's good right here in this seat talking about the people doing it. We don't need to see Terrell on camera. Because I'll be like Austin. And then, you better not say what I just said on camera. Give me your phone. Give me the diary cam. Delete.
Look, all they'd have to do is get some brown liquor, put it in there, and it'll be over.
I'd probably get a spinoff after that. I'd have a bad liver because they have to keep feeding me bourbon, but I'd probably get a spinoff after that.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Chloe and Michael and how they get them to their decision day, because it can't be just about them, right? So they're including the stuff after. Are we going to see those double dates? What's coming next? We'll see.
Do you think it'll be like the where are they now kind of? It's been a couple weeks.
Yes.
And all that, because I really don't feel like Chloe and Michael's decision day is going to be you know, less than 5 days from everyone else's decision day, who had all this time together. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still only on week two at this point.
Mrs. Smith kind of sums up you on the show. Joe will be like that runaway bride. He just walk off if he didn't like what he saw.
Nah, bruh.
She made you Chris and Clay all at once.
But at least I didn't like sleep with her. I'd just be like, no, this is not going to work for me. And I don't know what I've done, but you guys, Shoshana, Terrell's going to be with child soon anyways. What? Why are we speaking this stuff into existence? Terrell will be without child unless I get a dog. That's different. So it's maybe Shoshana thinks I'm going to get a dog, which I hope I do.
Oh, man, let's get out of here, man. Wait, I got to do this one last one here. From Lady of the House, says, Love is Blind, and you and I have said this before, needs some super morbid obese men and women just to mix it up, not just model size and a little plus. Let's make it real surprise to see if love is truly blind.
100%. I've said that, mm-hmm. that we need to get a good mix. And the way I said it before was, you know, everybody can't be tens. You got to have some threes and fours. And there are some big women that I would call eights and nines. Mm-hmm. I just think you need to have a mix. Everybody can't be petite. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't be, you know, short, cute, whatever. Have a good mix of women and men. Mm-hmm. Same for the guys. Have some dad bods in there. Mm-hmm. Have some people really fit. Mm-hmm. Have some people look like they can't even lift their own suitcase. A little mix of folks would be great.
Yo,
you see those super skinny guys where you're like, how do you even lift yourself off the bed?
Hey, I can't say anything. I used to be that for the longest time. 140 pounds soaking wet.
I remember you in college.
Yes.
Remember. You had on baggy pants and shorts, not because it was in style. It was just Gap kids didn't have any. That didn't fit that 26 slim.
Jealous much? Hey, do us a favor. You're still here. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find online. And we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.